Has it been a great time of worship so far? Is there a dry eye in the house from worshiping and praying to our God? What an awesome day. After an awesome week. Didn't we have an awesome week?
Yes.
Maybe. Did you have a horrendous week? Aren't you glad God designed a day of rest? So I didn't pick the hymns, but I did choose to listen to verse 2, and I want to just maybe open our service with this. Who am I that you should love me? I mean, when we sing these hymns, do we hear and comprehend the message? Or like me, do you struggle with the notes going up and down, the timing and the tempo and the music, and we judge and we don't praise and worship? I'm just saying, that's what I do. Meet me. Meet my every need from birth. Why invest yourself so fully in a creature made from earth? We are dust. And God loves us. Is that crazy? In your loving heart, you planned me. You fashioned me with the greatest care. Through my soul, you breathed your spirit. Plant your own image there. Guys, we are image bearers, created in God's image. Now, I will tell you honestly, I worked really hard for this message. I wrestled all week. Ask my wife. And then, as is God's custom, which started in my office through the prayers, and then I come out here and we sing the hymn, and somebody said, someone quoted, Abby quoted a passage of scripture taken from my message. Would you stop scrolling through my notes? Do you people read my notes? Here's what we need to get. God is living and active and moving. And the blessing comes, as we talked last week, from serving. And until we serve the Lord, do we experience the God sightings that go, wow, you love me. You care for me. You died for me. And because of this, I'm going to live for you. When this church, and it is doing well, it is right where God would have it be. But when we get to where God wants us to be, holy smoke, the place is going to be on fire with holy smoke. Let's pray. My house will be a house of prayer. Father, I just pray that we would follow your lead. And I thank you for this church that chooses to pray for the world, and to pray for one another. And we pray because it works. Father, we thank you for the wisdom you gave someone to come up with an acronym that we pray until something happens. That means we push, and we push, and we push until we get your way in us. God, I pray that you will use this time as we focus on your word and this message, that it would speak volumes to us, that it would impact our lives, not for a day or an hour, but for eternity. So I give you the praise in advance for what you're going to do in this time, and I pray it is great for your kingdom. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So for some time now, well, at least, what is it, 6 weeks? I don't know how long I've been back. We left the book of Acts. That's where, like 3.5 months ago, that's where we were. I thought we were looking at what the church should look like. And over the course of 2 months, God said, no, walk this way, James. And so we've been looking at what it is to be like Christ, to reflect Him, to be like Him, to bear His image. We've been focusing on how a relationship with the Lord impacts our lives. Last week, I encouraged us to pay attention to the example of Jesus' act of serving in John chapter 13. And I hope the point was clear that it is about a personal transformation of our character and of our mind to know that God is doing a work within us that would motivate us to become more and more like Jesus. If you remember last week, the verse said, we'll be blessed if we do it. And if you weren't here, most of the sermon is recorded. So take time, go to our website and listen to it. This week, I looked at a number of different passages that could be used to encourage us to learn more about following Christ. And I was drawn to the Acts 2 thing, what the church looked like after Peter preached his first sermon. And it might be to your advantage to go back to that passage and read it for yourself this week, Acts chapter 2, like the birth of the church. There are a number of Old and New Testament accounts that give us insight into doing whatever it takes to love others. But to me, the essence is summed up by Jesus in just two verses. Two verses that are probably familiar to most of us. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. John 13, 34 and 35. If you want to write those references down. Weeks ago, when I began to look at this passage in John chapter 13, the question that came to my mind is, why does Jesus call this a new command? I mean, we can go all the way back to Leviticus chapter 19, read for ourselves that I am to love others as I love myself. It's not new. Jesus had frequently taught his disciples the need of loving others. A large portion of the Sermon on the Mount is dealt with the idea of loving others, even our enemies. So in what sense is this a new command? It's important to remember the context of these verses. Jesus has just finished with washing his disciples' feet to show them the full extent of his love. He gives his disciples a new standard for the way they're to love others. Jesus tells his disciples to live in a new way. So this bids the question, how? Well, in the way he loved us. Do you realize all that Jesus endured? He steps out of heaven, kind of taking off his outer garments, becoming a man, taking on human form, humbling himself to the most low point you can possibly get to, being beaten and naked and bruised and dying. Have you been there? I haven't. How much love does he have to show? And then how much love do we have to show to one another? As much as he showed us. How do you do that? There is not nearly enough time to discuss all the aspects of Jesus' love for us. I mean, even if we could come up with a list, I don't think you'd be able to track until we got to the end of it. We're going to sing of the ocean if If the ink in a pen was as much as the ocean, doesn't even begin. The truth is, until we gain an understanding of who Jesus is and what he means to us, what does Jesus mean to you? Because until we get it, we are incapable of being like him. What does darkness have to do with light? The problem is, people throughout history wanted Jesus to be different things for each of them based on their thinking, on their knowledge. Some people were looking for him to be a political leader who could come and lead them out from under the oppression of the Roman government. Come, save me. Some came to Jesus out of a sense of curiosity. Who is this guy? Or maybe because they thought Jesus could give them something they wanted, like food. Some thought he was a lunatic. The religious leaders of the day, they thought he was a threat to their power and their authority. But Jesus never swayed by what other people thought of him or what people wanted him to be. Be my vending machine. Meet my need. Heal me. It's all about me. And it is, because he came to serve us. Even those closest to Jesus didn't fully understand who he was. Jesus was always honest about who he was and why he had come to earth. He knew his purpose. Do we know why we are here, church? To bring honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. We open with a psalm. You are my God. But is he? Is he your God? Mark 8:31-33 gives a little snapshot of the thinking that was taking place. We read, and this is Jesus. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. What? But when Jesus turned to his disciples to look at them, he rebuked Peter. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." And then listen to what he says. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." To rebuke God. What was Peter thinking? It seems he didn't get it. In Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28, Jesus was up in the faces of the religious leaders. And he was saying, "You guys aren't what you are on the inside, on the outside." He said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness." This is what's going on in the day. Is it different today? No doubt these religious leaders put on a pretty good show. They had their act together, I'm certain. By all outward appearances, they seemed to be righteous. But Jesus knew their heart and how hypocritical they were. A hypocrite is described as someone who puts on a mask so that they appear to someone as they are not. Those who speak one way, but believe or act another way. We never do that. Catch up with me on Wednesday. Catch up with me when I'm behind the wheel of the car. I ain't so priestly. I have a witness. I curse at inanimate objects. Yes? Yeah, I might as well confess. I'm just going to lay it out. I ain't perfect. Thank you, Jesus. Neither are you. No one. Not one. Listen, hypocrisy undermines the church from what God desires it to be. If we are truthful, most of us come to church with a mask on every week. If we're truthful, we're afraid to let people see us as we really are. We're deceived into thinking, we can't let people know that I got issues in my life. I got issues in my life. Thank you. We're too prideful to let people really get to know us as we really are. Why? Because we're concerned about what people will think of us. I want you to like me. I want you to like me. If you knew who I really was, you'd be going, oh, and you would gasp. As a result, our relationships are so superficial, listen, that we don't experience the kind of intimate fellowship God desires for us to have with one another. Like this, brother, sister, friend, enemy. So the first step in developing our true relationship to love one another, we need to become more transparent.
I ain't doing that.
You know, we prayed that we would bring about change, and sometimes we're scared of what that involves or what that would look like. But until we face that, giant, did you say? I wasn't here. It's not recorded, but I heard. Good sermon. What's your Goliath? Face him with a little stone and the power of God living in you. Do you believe that, Christian? To be like Jesus, we need to follow God's example. For example, listen to Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for me, died for us. While we were still away from him, God loves us. If that doesn't burst your brain, you need a heart attack. Yeah, and that's why you're living for Christ. That's the heart attack I'm talking about here. Aren't you glad that God didn't wait until we loved him or lived in a way that would merit his love? If you take time to think about it, none of us could possibly ever live a life that's good enough that we could earn the love of a holy and perfect God. Would you agree most of us have a hard time loving that way? Love like God. We can love people who are a lot like us. Those who love us and treat us well, that's easy. But how about the people who are different? How about those who have hurt us? What about the people that talk badly about us behind our back? What about people that treat us unfairly? Are we supposed to love them? That's way more difficult, isn't it? I ain't going there. I just avoid it. How many times do we just look the other way? We see them in the mall or at the supermarket, and it's like, oh, please, God, don't. I'm just saying, that's not what I do, but I mean, I've heard story. Here's the rub. If we want to love like Jesus, we have to choose to love people that are hard to love too. Listen to what Matthew 5, 46 and 47 has to say. Might want to write that one down. Matthew 5, 46 and 47, maybe the whole chapter. If you love those who love you, I love this question. What reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? What Jesus is saying here is that it's easy to love those who love us. Piece of cake. Even people that don't know God can do that. But he has called us to a higher standard. Love like him. We're to love the unlovable. And I believe the reason it's hard for us to do this is because we don't fully comprehend what God's love is all about. And I said to myself and to my wife throughout this week, it's hard to preach on something you know nothing about. And I'll be honest, I'm not real loving because I don't know how to love. And the love that the world portrays is a little bit jaded. It's not Christ love. It's emotions. It's not the core. We need to understand that although Jesus loved the unlovable, he never accepted their sinful behavior. And when you think about the woman at the well, right? You know, maybe the story, she's caught in her marital infidelity. Jesus makes her aware. When the people were about to stone the woman caught in adultery, think about this, right after everybody there heard the message from Jesus, you without sin cast the first stone, and after the stones all hit the ground, he says to the woman, go, sin no more. Peter tried to keep Jesus from going to the cross. Jesus rebuked him, called him Satan. Take a lesson from Jesus. It doesn't mean we're to accept or overlook sinful behavior. As cliche as it may sound, we really do need to love the sinner, but hate the sin. The kind of love we're talking about here is not some emotional feeling. Listen, it is an act of the will that chooses to put the best interests of the other person first. That's hard. This is the kind of self-giving love that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13. So in other words, I can choose to love someone. Even if I don't like them. Even if I don't want to. Isn't that exactly what Jesus did for us? While we were still. Why would he like me? Dirt! First Corinthians 13, 4 and 5 says, love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. Does not boast. It's not proud. Does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not eagerly angered. It keeps no record of wrong. So do me a favor here. Let's be crafty. I know we're not supposed to add or subtract or change or alter God's word in any way. But can we change love to Jesus? Ready? Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He's not proud. He does not dishonor others. He's not self-seeking. Jesus is not easily angered. Jesus keeps no record of wrong. Okay, let's take that a step further. Can we put James there? Can we put your name there? I'm so glad you're honest Christians. But add to this thought Colossians 3, 12 and 13. As God's chosen people, church, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, listen, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. They're the character qualities of Christ himself. And then in verse 13, he says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Why did God write this book, the Bible? So we can get through life. So we can bring honor and glory to him. And because we live in a world full of sinful people, even in the church, people are going to disappoint us. They're going to hurt us. They're going to offend us. For the most part, we can't control that. But we most certainly can control how we respond in those situations. That's my choice. Take the cart and meet them head on. You know, I had to do that. And just to see if you're listening, ask me about the testimony after the service. It wasn't a shopping cart either. But anyway, we can either sit and stew, get bitter and feel sorry for ourselves, or we can choose to forgive. Even when the other person doesn't ask us to. And for this to be accomplished, we need to understand the love of God and how his love impacts the way we live our life. And this is only going to come about when we experience a personal transformation of our character and our thinking, allowing God to work within us to enable us to become more and more and more like Jesus, which in turn will be a blessing if you take the action. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, to love God and love others, we must be connected to Jesus. Yes. Father, I thank you that you have written the handbook to life. I thank you that we in the States have the freedom to crack it open any time of the day, that we can talk about it and memorize it and meditate on it and most importantly, share it. God, your word has gone out this morning. I pray that it has landed on fertile soil, soft hearts, open minds. Help us to understand the deep, deep love you have for us, that we're to share with one another. Father, use us effectively for making a difference in your kingdom as we love one another. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.